Don't just go through life, grow through it. Hi, and welcome to the Grow Through It podcast with Fee Deng. My name is Fee, and I am a human design life coach known as the Positivity Queen, and author of The Great Unlearning, Awakening to Living an Aligned and Authentic Life. Join me as I discuss all things mindset, self-love, energy, and purpose, which are the four pillars of my Soul Revolution coaching methodology. This podcast won't just inspire and motivate, it will also provide practical tips and strategies you can implement in your daily life. Ready to grow? Let's grow.
Hello, beautiful souls. On today's episode, we have Elena Feldman, who is a 4-1 sacral generator with the sole purpose of intuition. Hers in particular is actually a rare bridge between a personal and karmic destiny. She truly embodies the belief that age is but a number. In our conversation, we explore how choices can shape our journey and how embracing movement as well as a mindset of choice, positivity, and spirituality can lead to a life that embodies purpose and fulfillment. Let's get into it with love and positivity. Enjoy today's episode. Hi, beautiful souls. On today's episode, we have health, wellness, and empowerment coach Elena Feldman of Your Health Vibes. She is on a mission to provide ways to calm your mind, body, and soul. Elena and I met through Instagram. She has been a huge supporter of my work, sharing my content. We've exchanged a few DMs, and I thought it would be so awesome to have her on the podcast. Embracing her abilities has really allowed Elena to be successfully working together with those of diverse ages and backgrounds, both individually and in a group setting. For the past number of years, she has been motivating and teaching seniors, cancer patients, and children to be the best that they can be and live life to the fullest. Welcome to the Grow Through It podcast, Elena.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. I feel so honored to be here today.
Yay, I'm so excited that you're here. We just kind of had a little pre-chat, and Elena's journey has been so interesting. And I would love it if you could share more with us about yourself and your personal journey to becoming a health and wellness empowerment coach.
Definitely. Well, it kind of started off when I was young, a little girl, always kind of, I felt different and kind of like I was put on this earth for a purpose and for a reason, and always kind of loving on people, showing up on that way and trying to do that. But as I grew older, unfortunately, I was in a major car accident my senior year going into high school. I was super active. You know, I was literally the next day was supposed to take senior pictures. And a lady rear-ended my friend and I at 50 miles per hour at a complete stop. With that, kind of my world flashed before my eyes of what's going to happen, what's going on. I was taken right away to the emergency room. And being at the age I was 17 years old, going into my senior high school, I ended up getting a cervical neck sprain, damaging like my shoulders, my neck, my back, and all that. And they wanted me to wear a neck brace. And at the time, talking about age, I wish at that time I wasn't in the realm of being materialistic of, hey, I'm not going to wear a neck brace. I don't want it showing up like that. And actually it made things a little bit worse because I didn't want to show up for myself that way. I was being like vain and thinking, you know, where's my world going? I was very active. I don't want to wear the neck brace. I don't want to show up. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be defined by a car accident. So that kind of started the journey of how do I want to show up? Do I want to sit here and be in this pain and poor me and start suffering? Or how can I help myself to move forward? But being that age, sometimes that's really hard because you have the media, you have your friends in your head, you have everybody else, and you're not having yourself being present, showing up for you quite a way. But in that time, I really felt that my calling was coming. And so I started to go to physical therapy and they had me go into water, and water therapy saved my life. That was one of the biggest things on my journey because I was able to do movements. I was able to show up for myself. I was able to release. And I feel being in that water was so cleansing. It just allowed me to know that even though I'm hurt, it didn't fight. Even though things being in the water, I was able to move again. I was able to show up for myself and able to know that this is the journey, but I was ready for it. And how can I help start to help others? Because if I was feeling like this, other people were.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing your journey with us so far. Like I'm honestly speechless, and you know, it totally makes sense to me, like why your brand is called Your Health Vibes, and you're like a generator as well. You can really feel that vitality and energy and kind of bringing human design into it. What I found was really interesting is like one of your main energies on a conscious level in this lifetime is shock. So I can imagine something like that happening to you at such a young age really did change your trajectory. And I think that in life, we can have different perspectives on how these events shape us. And you really do take that empowering side to kind of what's happened to you. And what were kind of some of the biggest challenges that you faced during your recovery process, and how did you overcome them, Elena?
Right. Great question. So with all this, I think what I learned too, asking for help, showing up, seeing, you know, other things, this wasn't the first thing. So with that, I ended up being in 2 more car accidents, not driving at all.
What?
I was not that driver. So the second time I was in college with my sister, she was driving, a lady T-boned us. Then I graduated college. Someone rear-ended me with my friend and I driving, and then took off. So I, you know, at the time you start to kind of spiral around like, why me? I had it in high school. Then I had it in college. Then I had it. And so then you start to kind of spiral down and be like, what is going on? What is the universe trying to teach me? How am I showing up? What is this trying to say with a message of what it is? I was in shock. Then I think each time, am I going to recover? Am I going to, you know, this one doctor says, I want you to have surgery. This doctor says this. But here it is. This is what came to me. It's what vibe you give. You know, I could sit there and be poor Elena, like, I'm not going to be able to do this. Is that going to get anywhere? No, that's going to fester in me. That's going to cause more damage, and I'm not going to be able to heal. So I had to make a choice, because I had a choice to be sorry for myself, or choice to show up for myself and what vibe I wanted to give. So with that, it really taught me that if I'm going to be negative, that's not going to get me anywhere. Did I have my bad days? Yes, I did, but I went with it. So I think what I learned is that embracing my emotions and going with what I truly got, my gut was feeling, but not until recently, like learning my human design, knowing that I had to come from that sacral gut place to make that choice. I couldn't listen to this person. I couldn't listen to that person. Listening to everybody else was not going to help me. I had to listen to myself, ask for help, and show up, but tell my story. Because I think so many people suffer in silence, or they think if I ask for help, I'm weak or this. And once again, there's no right or wrong way to do something. I think in life, and with society, everything, oh, it's you did it right. You're a good girl. You're a bad girl. And defining ourselves. But what defines yourself? What truly does Elena need? What is my soul and body and my mind? What's going to be for me? It's what vibe I give. You know, working with these cancer patients and seniors, and what energy? For instance, my father had cancer, and now he's a 10-year cancer survivor. I took it way harder than he did. However, he showed up so hard that he believed in himself so much that I felt like that helped him become cancer-free. The way that he showed up and put that and what vibe he gave, I feel really saved his life, and watched him and the positiveness of like, I'm still here. I'm still showing up. I'm not allowing this to define me. And I think that truly, he was a guide and such a motivation to me and inspiration that if he could get through it, I can.
Wow. I mean, yeah, I think so many of us could agree, like it's shocking to hear that you've been through several car crashes and kind of the perspective that you're taking. And as I was listening, I just couldn't help but see like the synthesis of all of your human design being a generator and being the vibes, this shock energy. But even when I go deeper into your chart, like your destiny is all about you know, storytelling and the traveling energy. And one of your soul energies is also like that mystery energy and that connection with spirit, which is perhaps why you've adopted the perspective of why things can happen. And, you know, my dad had cancer and unfortunately he passed away. So it's something that's dear to me. And, you know, it's something that is so difficult to speak about. And, you know, we can understand it from a spiritual perspective, but there's also that human aspect that doesn't really understand why these things happen. And sometimes things just do happen in their circumstances.
Right. And I totally agree with you. Yeah. It's every circumstance is different and showing up and putting yourself into someone else's shoes, you know, because so many people say too, like, oh, I get it. But in reality, you don't get it until you go through it. So I think people can have that compassion, can have that empathy and whatnot. But I feel like I can put myself in there because, as I said, I feel like my purpose on this earth was to serve seniors and cancer and hard things. But because it's hard doesn't mean that it doesn't make me sad. It doesn't, you know, certain things it does, but I know that I'm here for that reason, to be that voice, to show up for that person, because so many times they don't have that person to show up for them. And working with these seniors too has given me such a different perspective of life. Of I'm 42. So, you know, sometimes people look at me and I may look younger or the way I act, because I feel a lot of times being that generator, my energy comes up way younger than the actual age. Cause I say age is only a number, you know?
Yes.
It truly is. So my perspective, I was excited to turn 40. I was excited to, you know, be the older woman of what it is, because I think so many times we learn and we grow, and being at this age, they've really just taught me, like, don't give a crap anymore. Like, you can show up for yourself. And I just, you know, I think, and sometimes people look like, oh, you're 42. It's like, yeah, I'm loud and proud I'm 42. And I want to show up that way. I think younger Elena would have taken things different. Younger Elena would have taken things personally. But I think it, you know, just like fine wine, it ages, you know, it looks good. You know, the older you get, the better it is. And with these seniors, they've told me to embrace that. Embracing being around them has really allowed me to see what, like, truly the soul is about. What, you know, it's not the surface level of how is Elena, how's Elena's soul? How am I showing up truly for who I am?
Yeah. And just before we kind of jumped on the call, what I really loved Elena said was, she's like, yeah, I'm young, like I'm 42. And that's such a different perspective, because I think people can think like, oh, like when I turn 40, it's this. And, you know, in terms of your energy and your human design, you're going through a transit, what we call the Uranus opposition. And it's kind of joked as it's a spiritual midlife crisis. There's a lot of like shakeups and turbulence. Obviously, the biggest one of all is when we're kind of like 27 to 31, you know, the Saturn return. But this is that one afterwards. And what I was kind of saying to you is, like, when I looked into your transit, one of the big things coming up is there's going to be crisis moments. There's going to be adventure. There's going to be friction. And for a lot of people, I think they would feel apprehensive, understandably, or fear. But like, as I'm talking to you, I see you, you're smiling. You're like, yes, these things are coming up. Like, how do you kind of make sense of this transit that you're going through and knowing, like, hey, some of the big energies going for you are crisis and friction. And you've already had these, like, a life living up to this point as well.
Right. So what has really like helped me with all of this is what I think I've always said, I asked for this life. My contract to show up was this. I kind of feel like, even though it's cuckoo and crazy, there's so much, this is what my soul at, like, this is what I signed up for, and I'm all about it. And embracing the light and dark, you know, everybody's like, oh my gosh, how are you? So happy pants and da da da. But no, like, some days I don't have my happy pants on. Some days I want to sit in bed, but embracing that and embracing the joy. If I want to sit in bed and that's what I want to do and that's going to get me through the day, then so be it. As the generator in me, I have to feel that joy and showing up for myself no matter what it is. And so here it is too. I have a choice. I have a choice how I want to show up. I can either sit like this or sit like that, but I do have a choice. No one's telling me not to do something or whatnot. So I think with all this, I embrace it because I asked for it.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has different perspectives, but you kind of describe the way that I like to describe human design and life. Like, it's like, hey, like, We weren't born and we didn't come on this earth to be happy. We actually came here, we signed up for growth and expansion. And often, unfortunately, most of that, the biggest ones come from, you know, the breakdowns and the really hard moments. And yeah, like you kind of say, we can either let it define us or we can kind of weave it into the story of who we are, which I, you know, I'm very similar in that sense. Like some things that have been really hard in my life have been really pivotal and defining as well.
And I love your perspective. I love how you are authentically online and offline and how you show up. I feel you truly see someone's soul and it's not the surface level, which is so beautiful. And that's why I felt like always connected to you, is that you see differently and in such a beautiful way. It's not a way because you want to save someone. It's not because of this, because you truly care. And I feel like in the world right now, it's hard for people to be present and caring. And that's what I love about you, is how authentic and beautiful your soul is and the way that you show up. And that's what was so drawing towards you.
Oh, thank you so much. That means the world to me. And I really loved about hearing your experiences with emotions, because in human design, you've got a completely open solar plexus. So natural emotional energies aren't something that is, you know, for you in this lifetime. So obviously it's a big learning curve to kind of go through and feel your emotions. And you've kind of said all the different ones that you've experienced in your lifetime. And part of the open solar plexus is you really are built to be empathetic. You really feel, you know, the emotions of the people physically around you, like in the collective. I always say people with an open solar plexus probably don't enjoy the news because you can get really affected by what you hear. And I can imagine also being around cancer patients, like feeling the emotions that they would be going through. What do you turn to in terms of your emotional processing and perhaps, you know, being empathetic and holding space for these people, you know, seniors and older people, but not necessarily absorbing that, which could be really hard for you.
Right. That is another great question. So I agree. News can't do it. It causes, like, you know, a lot of anxiety because I feel it so hard being sometimes out exactly in a community. I come home and I'm like, ah, what's going on? So what I do is protect myself. I also do Reiki. I also cleanse. I also, you know, kind of, I take a time out. I shake it off. I will dance. I will, you know, do things to get that energy out and also not take it like personally of my own energy, and knowing have to source, is that coming from outside or is it mine? Because sometimes that's where it gets confusing, is when I go out, I feel so much that I can't sometimes decipher, is it my energy or is it picking up on someone else's just by getting that hug? You know, I have to be careful who I discern my attention and my energy to, because sometimes I feel like it's sucked away.
Yeah, I find just as you were speaking and kind of like correlating in my mind, like what's really coming through is like, in your life, there's been a lot of circumstances that you can't control, whether that's being involved in car accidents and, you know, the cancer diagnosis of your father. And now you're working with people, seniors and cancer patients, where there are a lot of circumstances that are also out of their control. Like you can't control aging. You can't control being sick to a degree. Like obviously we can have a healthy lifestyle and diet, but there's things, again, beyond what we understand. What are some, I know you've kind of spoken about, like they've given you insights to like stop caring so much. You know, is there anything else that you've really gained from working with seniors and cancer patients? I'd love to hear any more further insights that you have. I find it so interesting.
Yeah, for one thing, so we just celebrated this lady's 100th birthday. And they
said, your client was just turned 100. Incredible. 100. Happy birthday to her.
Yeah, still lives by herself, like bowls, over 100, like 120, if not, it's just incredible. But what they all tell me is like moving their body, still being active. And then another lady, we just celebrated her 94th birthday. So we said to her, Nora, like, what is your advice? She said, I'm just, when I wake up, I just say I'm happy to be alive. And that really was very mind-blowing, because, you know, we think we wake up in the morning and we think these little things like, oh no, like, what am I going to have for dinner? What am I going to do? And they were just thankful for being alive, waking up and being there the next day. So that was really powerful to me, because, you know, we think of, what do you think of when you wake up in the morning? You know, when I was asked that question and I said, you know, sometimes I think like, I gotta go pee, you know, or something like just so random. But but to them, it's like, thank God that I'm here today. And I was like, wow.
Yeah, you're saying like it's literally the first thing they think about and like the gratitude for being that. And I love that you touched on that because I recently spent some time with my mom and one of her friend, her dear friends is disabled. And, you know, it gave me so much perspective because this whole movement and I'm somebody, I know many of my clients and it's like that motivation to have movement and to have fitness. That is something that is really important because we all live really busy lives. It can be hard to prioritize. Do you have any thoughts or tips on motivation in terms of like fitness and movement?
Yeah. So there's all types of movement you can do. I think people put it in a box or stereotype exercise, like, oh no, or freak out. I think there's all types of exercise, whether you're disabled, whether you're here or there, because that's how I also work. A lot of my seniors are in wheelchairs or walkers or things like that. So it's just adapting to what style and what works best for everyone, because what could work for me may not work for you. But what my motivation is don't think of it as exercise. For instance, I told my grandma, she says, you want to go walk outside or walk around your room. So we walked around her room 3 times, you know, something like that, just motivating. Or, you know, sometimes if I can't motivate, call a partner, have accountability, you know, even if it's FaceTime, we have so much technology nowadays. If you don't want to be alone, FaceTime your friend on a walk, you know, something like that. Or I recommend like putting on your favorite song in the morning. What motivates you? I love to put on my favorite song, kind of dance, that's exercise in itself. You could sit in your chair and do a few things while you're watching TV. You know, I think there's so much that we can do, but we categorize it. We put a, you know, label on what is right or what's wrong. There's so many ways to exercise and be motivated instead of just the one black and white or what media says. I think, you know, that's a problem is there's so many options, but we don't really realize that.
I really love that you took away the limits. Like, hey, if you don't want to walk outside, like walk in your room. It seems like to me, you're just advocating to make it really easy. Like it's almost like there's no excuse not to, because you could do it when you're watching TV or you're kind of building it in. If you want to socialize, if you don't have anybody, if they can't physically be there with you, like FaceTime, that's a really great idea as well.
Yeah. So I think too, because we think it has to be a certain way, but it really, you know, doesn't. Or, you know, what motivates these older women at these homes is a cute guy or girl. A lady said, you know, I want to shimmy up, you know, I want to go work out with him, you know? So I think sometimes what I've noticed is sometimes like an older and younger to go, or even kids. I've worked with like little toddlers. So people with little kids, that is the biggest, like working with seniors and toddlers or something, or kids, they relate so much and they can, you know, they really make each other happy. So I don't know if you've seen that too, of the correlation of it doesn't matter what age, you can show up at 90, you can show up at 2, you know, but still have that connection because they're kind of alike when you reach those two ages.
Isn't it? Yeah, because I haven't watched it and I can't remember the name of the series, but there's been a lot of TV shows where they are partnering like children and toddlers with seniors, and there's like this beautiful magic. And it's like, it's funny how like the beginning of our life, we're full of like zest and energy. And towards the end, you can also still have that enthusiasm. And I guess like us being in between, it's like, oh, it's a journey. There's a lot of like turbulence kind of coming through, isn't it?
Definitely. Or it's funny because, you know, as a little kid, you're in diapers, and then as an adult, you can be in diapers. So you can both relate to and have those like similarities. But I think what helps out is it brings that childlike back to them. And to, you know, the kids, they don't know the difference of age. So they get to see them too, kind of as like a companion, opposed to, oh, it's just like grandma or grandpa, what it is. They can see each other as a soul or, you know, together.
Oh, I'm really loving that this is emerged in our conversation about how age isn't really a thing, because it's true. Like children aren't necessarily perceiving with all this stigma of what this person is because they're like 30, 40, 80 or whatever. They're just seeing them as another soul and somebody that they can spend time with. I really love that. And I think it's so important because something that I work a lot with clients is our inner child and forgetting that magic. And a theme that's been really coming up a lot recently is how we take life really seriously. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of serious things about life, but we've also forgotten like the lightness and the playfulness and the joy that also exists in life. And I guess you kind of see that with the children and the people that you work with as well, both sides really.
Definitely. And also learning with my human design, like being the 4-1 generator, telling like living in joy. And I think that triggers people sometimes because, as I said, if I want to sit at home and watch a movie and live in that joy, I'm going to show up so much better for everybody else. But if I was forced to do something I didn't, then I feel like I can't fully show up. But I feel like that triggers people sometimes because they think, oh, you need to be living your 8-to-5 job. You need to show up this way because of how society is. But really learning my human design has allowed me to really accept myself for living the way that I want to show up and how is right for me.
Yeah, I think it's so true. It's almost like it is a manual and guide to your life, but it also gives you just the permission slip to be naturally working with your energy. And something that we know, because you've got that 4 profile line, which I also have, it's all about relationships and, you know, finding common ground and networking. And I guess, how do you find like, yeah, connecting with perhaps seniors or people that are significantly older than you? Does it sometimes feel intimidating?
Actually, it doesn't, because starting my journey or everything, I always thought I was different than others. I call myself old soul with a young heart. My mom said I used to always go up to old people hugging, like my friends called me grandma growing up. Okay.
Oh. So
I wasn't Elena, I was grandma. And that energy. And I just feel like, as I said, I'm like a magnet. Anywhere we go, there's like my family, my friends. Of course, Elena found the seniors. Of course, Elena found grandma. Like, I'm so called to that and that energy. But I think it's because, as I said, I don't see them as grandma. I see their soul and deeper than what they are. Society puts them in homes. No one really cares about them. No one. Their stories are so incredible. What they've come from, what they've done, and they motivate me. And my grandma at 97, she said, Elena, I wish I had someone like you. Our generation, we couldn't talk about life. We couldn't talk about marriage. We couldn't. It was just, you're put in this situation. And she's like, from the day I met you, she said, I felt you were special. I had this connection where you make people feel comfortable. The way you show up, you see them on a different level. So when it comes into, they're like my besties. I love their energy. I feel like I relate to them, like, even though I'm 42.
Yeah, but you can, right?
Yeah. I mean, I just went to lunch with a 75-year-old. The other day we went to lunch with a lady and there's like 82, 83, you know, grandma's 97. I like them real old.
I think it's just like our conversation really flips what people believe about age. And especially I think being a woman and, you know, all of that comes with society and culture, this fear of getting older, but it really is understanding there's just so much wisdom. And it's like, where do we go in society where we didn't respect the wisdom and that aging process as such a, it's actually a privilege to grow old, right? Because you've made it and you're continuing and not everybody gets that opportunity.
Right.
But it's also like life doesn't end when you hit a certain age. Like life keeps going. Evidently, if you're working and exercising with seniors, like in their hundreds, like it's still, you know, you're still living your life. It doesn't, like the quality doesn't necessarily change. It's kind of more at your soul and your core and going beyond like the surface level.
Definitely. And also a big thing for them is touch. So everybody has a different love language. So that was part of mine is quality time and touch. And so hugging them, like I'm a big hugger. So with that and that energy, I love to hug them, but a lot of times they haven't been hugged. They haven't been touched, even a hand on the shoulder. You know, so many times we don't think something like that. I can't tell you how many times just a hand on the shoulder, a hug, it was like, gosh, I haven't been hugged in months. I haven't been, you know, just acknowledged because they're just people, you know? And so that to me is very sad. So I also want to give them that love and energy that they don't see, because it's so beautiful to acknowledge that as well.
And, you know, I think it's really clear from our conversation, you're a really empowered individual and you're quite upbeat And what happens when you kind of encounter clients or perhaps people that feel quite stuck or overwhelmed when it comes to their health, their fitness, or maybe perhaps going through really difficult life circumstances?
Definitely. That's another really great question, because I think it's hard because sometimes until we actually go through it, we may not understand someone. But allowing them to go through this and allowing them to feel the emotion, but not spin it too negative. So I have this thing, like, when you show up, you can have one negative talk, you know, one negative thing, and then we kind of move forward with that, because you have to embrace it. If they're not, you can't push down your emotions. You can't, it's finding the right way. And I feel like what I stand out is more intuitive. I'm your intuitive guide. I call myself like a senior whisperer or baby whisperer of the level of the intuitive messages that I receive, because everybody's different. And you know what? Some days we want to show up and some days we don't. And once again, we have that choice, allowing someone to sit with that, but not define them and say, you know, today they're like, I don't feel like we're, well, what works for you? We don't have to follow this program, but I need you to get up. Even it's a few little things. Making your bed is an exercise enough itself, doing something accomplishing, because I think we think we have to accomplish so much, but celebrating the small and the big.
I mean, I love that you touched on intuition, because as you know, you've got your main life purpose is literally the energy of intuition. And anytime we speak about that in human design, there's such a fine line between fear and intuition and trusting that, you know, being a generator, learning to trust that sacral as well. How has your journey been in terms of like your spirituality, embracing your intuition? I mean, even talking about intuitive concepts with perhaps a different generations that may not understand or comprehend what intuition is. I'd love to like get your viewpoint on intuition and embracing that.
Definitely. I think it's something that I've grown into, but it's something that I've always had. So I think, as I said, I've always felt different, or certain things, they just come to me. I just feel that energy and vibe from someone. So with my intuition, it's trusting it. But then when you talk to someone or it falls through, believing, like, you know, you tell someone like, how did you know that? It's like, I just knew that, you know, it's even hard to necessarily explain, but it's showing up. But when you hear how it affects other people, then it really helps more. Or sometimes in my Reiki sessions, when I tell them, like, how did you come up with, like, you know, it's just, you know, it came to me, and it's 99.9%. It's always spot on. So I think with intuition, it's trusting myself, because when you're younger, it's this weird energy of like, oh, wow, I'm saying these things and it's coming. It's true, but what is it? So it becomes a little confusing as well.
Yeah. And I feel like your human design also is very much intertwined with like spirituality. One of the energies that comes up a lot is enthusiasm. I think everybody can hear that as well. And I can imagine, like, because you, I think sometimes, like, also when I work with clients and being of a more spiritual nature, you are conscious of things. Like, you will say, like, oh, is it my vibe that attracts this? Is it the law of attraction? Is it my karma and all of this? Like, how did you kind of really make sense and peace of that? Was it because you kind of said, hey, this pain that I went through, this is like turned into my purpose? You know, what were you kind of doing like before being a health, wealth, wellness, empowerment coach? Have you always done this, or were you on a different path?
So I think, yeah, pain, you know, it turns into purpose of that. But as I said, I feel like this has always been my drive, but I think I never thought that it, like, the accident. I've always wanted a job where I can help someone ever since I've been little. So I've always wanted and always been in that field. As I said, always felt different, always been into crystals and, you know, like, so I feel like I've always felt it, but it's really heightened it during the accident time. I think that's when some of my gifts really started to come out or understand and dealing, like, yeah, pain to purpose. And it really, like, yeah, boosted what I was going to be going into.
Yeah. And talking about amplified and heightened energies, just before this call, we were kind of talking about your astrology as well. And you've got Aries and Libra in you. As we know, we just had the series of eclipses. We've got like the North Node, the South Node in Aries and Libra. So like, plus you're going through your Uranus opposition as well. So there is a lot of energy kind of bubbling up for you, coming up for you. You know, when I read into your energy, I can see like yeah, perhaps like limitations may be occurring. It's almost this sensation of planning for that next stage, like what's new that's kind of emerging within you. There's kind of like this more, I would say, provocative side that's coming out of you, like less caring. I mean, can you speak to that? I don't know if that resonates with you. That's just me reading your chart on the fly here.
Oh, I love that. No, I definitely feel like that. Also, during the pandemic, I kind of became like a love, sex, embodiment coach. So with that, like more of the spice, I've always been kind of a little bit spicy, but really embracing the spice of exactly like the seniors. They said, Elena, why do you care what someone says? Like, show up for yourself, you know? But sometimes it's funny because if I talk how an 80-year-old is allowed to talk, they get away with it. But when if I were to say something sometimes like that, so I think sometimes that's where it's hard, is that that age comes into play. So I should be able to talk how a 90-year-old talks just because I'm that, you know, of that. So I think it's funny too, is I can be just as spicy back. And so that's the respect. I put them right back in their place. I'm teaching a class or they're nasty or whatever. It's, girlfriend, like you have a choice. Like, you're not going to talk to me like that. And if you are, then bye. You know, I don't have time for that energy to feed in to enable that.
So you're kind of saying like, holding that space for respecting yourself and people respecting you is something that's kind of come with this transit?
Yes, because a lot of times people think I'm a lot younger than I am, or with this transit, I feel like different energies are coming through, but not respected for who I, like sometimes it's like, oh, you're like this little girl. No, I've been around the block. I do have knowledge. So sometimes I feel like that's where it's hard when age comes into play and working with older people or working. And sometimes they're like, well, you're only this age, you know, what do you know? And I said, well, I probably know a lot more than, you know, you sometimes in different, and it's because we all have our own lane. We all are a piece to the puzzle, and the way I show up is differently. But sometimes I do feel age comes into play because they haven't respected, but they're not respecting themselves.
And I think it starts with you respecting yourself. And I always say that's like living in alignment with like your values and your integrity, because otherwise that will be mirrored and showed out to the world around us, perhaps when we aren't respecting ourselves. And I really love that during the pandemic, you brought more like, you know, sex, love, and intimacy into your coaching, because again, it shows like, yeah, like this doesn't stop at a certain age. Like, even, I mean, do you speak to your senior patients about that as well?
Oh, definitely. It is their favorite thing to talk about. It is so crazy. The older you get, the more really open is, as I said, but they're actually feeling comfortable and seen, because as I said, my grandma said, Elena, I wish I had you when I was around. I wish I could do this, because it wasn't accepted. Their generation, they were shamed. They were put through all this. But to me, I'm here. It's like, we all, I feel kind of like sausages. We all have it, but we just have a casing over us. You know, we all can do it, and I'll show up. The older you get doesn't mean that your feelings go away about how you feel stuff. Like, you know, my grandma's 97 and wants a boyfriend. You know, they still want to be seen. You still want to be looked at a certain way. And as I said, I feel like a lot of the older women love to come to me because they say, Elena, you make me feel so comfortable. Like, they want to dance under the moon naked in the sun and like never felt like that. But when they come to me, they say, you're the type of person who I feel safe and I feel seen and not judged. And that's what I'm about. I see them deeper than a 90-year-old lady. I don't look as you. I look as you as my equal.
Yeah. And how do you think that has been in relation to your own journey? Like, as you're going through this transit, which is being, you know, like a spiritual midlife crisis as a term, but getting older, and how do you feel like being central in yourself and connecting to that part of yourself? Maybe it's changed from, say, your 20s and 30s to now being in your 40s, going and getting, you know, progressing in life.
I've always been pretty open. So that's one thing that, which I like about this, but the older I feel that people actually accept it more when you talk about it. So I think that's the difference. I've always been open with body image and who I am and showing up of that and having people say, you know, this is body. It woke up, or people like with kids, you know, you had 1, 2, 3 kids, like honoring yourself and showing up that way. I think that's another reason I'm here to show, is that your body doesn't define who you are. It's carrying you who you are, you know, of that. So I feel the older I get, more people are accepting of talking about it than the younger, or not making it so sexualized. I feel over here in the US, it's always so sexualized by these pictures, these things, if you want to show this. But in Europe, other countries, the people are honored and it's a different form. It's not sexualized. So I want people to, you know, show up that way too, that you can look at someone's body and have it in such a beautiful way as well.
Yeah. And I think something that you hit home is also like we, like sensual and sexual is a part of our needs in a way as well. It's not something to hide or be ashamed or like shy, but I guess it depends on the society that we grew up in. And I'm curious, you don't have children, do you? Or you do have children?
I don't. And that's like another thing that's great. So I've always wanted kids, but I'm a little bit older. My boyfriend is older. And now when I tell people, they said, oh my gosh, here, you know, did you freeze your eggs? And oh, it's going to be geriatric pregnancy. And then it's like, wow. So something that too, with the age I've been going through has been a little difficult of, for me, let me make that choice. Let me choose if I can't let, you know, that, because I feel so many times people are so living in that fear that they project that. So going through that right now, talking about age, I haven't wanted, but if the universe aligns and that's what it's supposed to be, then that's how I'm going with it. Because I feel we put so much pressure on having the kid and making it and you know, it's out of my control right now. And so that's how I kind of am going and looking at it and not getting those voices in my head, because I don't think I'm geriatric. Just, I think I'm going to be a fabulous mom if I am. It doesn't matter at that age. I'm in it because I want to be in it, not because of my age. And I get certain things, it does factor a little bit, but it doesn't make me, you know, they put like, I feel this, like this X on you, like, sorry, you're too old, or do this or do that. And that's very negative too. So that's something that I've been dealing with as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being open and candid and sharing about that, because it can be so hard. But I think it's been really inspiring, because it really isn't like about age defining you and letting yourselves to kind of dictate what you want. And I was curious as to like your position on that. And it's so true. Like, it's like, who decided for you?
Yes.
There isn't actually an ultimate say. So thank you so much for our conversation. It's been so inspiring, and something to just put you on the spot before you go. And I wanted, every time I have a guest on the podcast, I end it with three questions. So I'm going to ask you three questions that hopefully you can answer. And then I would love for you to kind of share ways for people to kind of connect with you if they're interested. And so, as you know, I have a book and it's called The Great Unlearning. So what would be one of the greatest unlearnings that you've had to have in your life?
Not taking things personally. I think that is one of the biggest things. I think too, I love my mom, but having these sometimes issues of things of, why are you doing it to me? And that's more of a selfish way of learning that it's, she do it to everybody else. So learning that it's not necessarily something personal. When somebody's going through something, unlearning that, oh, why are they doing this to Elena? They're not doing it to me. They're doing it to everybody else, because that's where they're at and that's what it is. So understanding the personal connection of not taking it personally.
So true. I think it is. We always think, because yeah, we always think it's happening to us. Like, they're doing it purposely. And sometimes we forget to just check in and, hey, like, was their intention actually to hurt me or to annoy me or whatever? I think that's a really beautiful piece to share. The second question is, I don't know if you have a phone with you, but what was the last thing you Googled?
Last thing I Googled was engagement rings.
I was wondering why everyone, she's looking really shy as we're recording this podcast.
No one really knows yet, but like literally that was the last thing I Googled.
We see what you're manifesting, Elena. I love that. And the final question is, what is one quote or piece of advice that has been shared with you that has changed your life or had a really big impact on how you live your life?
So my other grandma, who I loved, Grandma Addie, lived till 90, and she would call me Laners, and she'd say, Laners, this too shall pass. And that's always stuck with me, and also butterfly. So she's my butterfly. And, you know, whenever I see that or feeling down or whatnot. So it's true. So this too shall pass. So that's,
wow,
with someone with that is that, there's, you know, tomorrow's not promised, this too shall pass. And you know.
Do you know what's really like wild and aligned? I don't know if you know this, but the episode before you, I was literally talking about the butterfly effect recently. And so it's just interesting how like that was an episode and now you've brought up butterflies. So, oh, and you're holding up butterflies as well. So beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast, Elena. You really showed us that age doesn't define us and really showed what empowerment can do. How can people connect with you if they're interested, whether that's on Instagram or your website? I'd love for you to share.
Yeah, I have Instagram, CaliforniaGirly11. I have a website, yourhealthvibes.com. Also EF11CA@gmail, and Facebook as well. So beautiful. Anybody would like to contact or do, please feel free.
Thank you so much. I'll put those in the show notes. It's been amazing having you, Elena. Thank you so much for being on the Grow Through It podcast.
Thank you so much. I feel once again so honored and so blessed.
Hope you enjoyed today's episode, beautiful soul. And if you're interested in working with me, I offer one-to-one coaching as well as human design readings. For more information, visit my website, feedang.com, or message me on Instagram @thefeedang. I would love to hear from you. Until next time, beautiful soul.